I'm going to read a few passages from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God has was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. John here returns to something he's already spoken of at some length. Martin Luther once said that he preaches justification by faith every week because people forget it every week. And it is good when we in our own reading of God's words or in our hearing it's being preached that we be reminded of things that actually we already know. Perhaps we take them for granted. But to be reminded of good and basic doctrine. And here John is once again talking about God's love for us and our need to love each other. He's already spoken of it. He returns to it. He addresses us as beloved. We are the ones who are loved. But let us love one another. Now, previously, he's been talking about the importance of sound doctrine. Like many New Testament writers, he's writing against false teachers. There is a belief today that in order to be loving, it doesn't really matter what you believe. In fact, it's more loving to pretend it doesn't matter what you believe. John makes it clear. It's vitally important what you believe.
That's right.
But you've got to love as well. It's not either or. I'm a loving Christian. I'm a doctrinal Christian. If you're a Christian, you know the truth. Yeah. And you love your neighbour. John goes on to say, for love is of God. It is sometimes hard to love people. But it's of God. If I find it hard to love others, remember, God loves me, and I am unlovable, and yet he still finds love for me. And he talks about our being born of God and knowing God. The evidence of that is the love with which we conduct ourselves and express to other people. He then puts it in the negative. He who does not love does not know God. And then he makes that astounding claim, for God is love. In various periods of church history, that wonderful claim, that wonderful truth is emphasized or de-emphasized. In some areas of church history, very much the preachers were talking about the righteousness of God and the judgment of God and the importance to have fear for God, and of course all of that is true, and yet John says here, for God is love. It's going even further than saying God is loving, but God is love. That doesn't mean that love is God, of course, but love is so much an important aspect of God's character that John says he is love. And when we love one another, we are, albeit dimly, reflecting his love for us. There are many I know who like to talk about the love of God, as indeed I do. I'm enjoying it now. But John goes on in verse 9 to link it with the coming of the Lord Jesus. In our day and age, you know, the God of love and all, you know, the godly loving is about acceptance and tolerance. But John says, actually, no, it's not really. In this, the love of God was manifested or shown or demonstrated toward us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Love is not just a feeling. It's an affection followed by action. And we know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. It wasn't just an abstract concept, a kind of philosophical yarn. He loves the world, but the world never sees any evidence of it. In fact, God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, because, of course, we are dying. We are dying and we are dead. That he sent the Lord Jesus that we might live through him. And, of course, knowing that, we were the recipients of that amazing grace, that incredible rescue mission. We, of course, cannot but love God in return. And yet, says John, it's not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God loved you before you were conscious of him, before you knew him. The psalmist talks about his knitting you together in your mother's womb. God loved us before we could love him back. Furthermore, there is a reminder here that when the Son came into the world, it wasn't just teaching or performing miracles, but to be the propitiation for our sins. A term he uses in chapter 2 and verse 2. It means a satisfaction, an appeasement. He doesn't spell it out, but it's implied in that word. Although God is loving, indeed, God is love, he is also righteous, and he is our ultimate judge. And he might love a human, and yet hate what that human does. So the Lord Jesus came to make satisfaction, to appease the wrath of God for us and on our behalf. What an incredible demonstration of love. And we know from the Gospels and elsewhere that when Jesus Christ was fastened to the cross at Golgotha, he was bearing the wrath of God. He was taking our blame. That is a demonstration of God's love. It's not a feeling, it's not feeling happy or even feeling fulfilled. It's what Christ has done. That is the expression of the Father's love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In other words, says John, God is love. God loves you. God demonstrated his love to you by sending his only begotten Son. That is wonderful and it's amazing. But you respond to that by loving other people. Of course, we love God as well. But I wonder if there is a practicality about this. There's nothing you have that God requires. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, and he doesn't need that either. He doesn't need your time, he doesn't need your company, though I think he does desire it.
Yeah.
But people do. Human beings are in need of your company, of your possessions, of your affection, of your attention. As Christians, we're going to spend time in prayer. But God is not bored waiting for the phone to ring and he really needs you to tell him all about your day. You can do that. But there are people out there who may not have spoken to anyone today. Maybe they do need a phone call. Maybe they do need some particular help. In other words, for having experienced and known the love of God, he says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There will be a practical outworking of our genuine salvation. It's, you know, being saved is not just to come to some intellectual assent. Yes, I believe that the things written in the Bible are true. It actually has an impact on the way you live, on the way you think, on the way you deal with other people. He who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. Five verses, but very, very much packed with truth there.